This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. Going to have another great guest. I'm very sorry that we're about an hour and 15 minutes late, but had a great softball game. And, of course, Riverdale came out on top, as expected. And I'm going to have Mr. Larry Haynes on with me today because I have known Larry for probably about 60 years. So we were just born when I got to know you. And the very first time I met you was at training school, and you and I were trying out for the brand new Little League teams back then.
That's right.
And we had to do a lot of running, throwing, batting, pitching, stuff like that. And I still remember you were extremely fast. You were a great athlete back then.
Well, I was small. And really small, if you remember. But I could run fast.
Yes, you
and
could.
I think that's the only reason that anyone was interested in having me on their team. And I do remember that race. Yeah, you beat me just a little bit, about a yard.
And I was very fortunate to be ahead of you at that end. I think you may have slipped or something on the way.
I don't think so. You were just a little faster.
I played on the Yankees. I was selected by Gilbert Sheeran to be on the Yankees. And I need to let everybody know that you were selected by each coach was given a number of points and to select the players that he needed at that time. And if I remember right, there must have been 200 kids out there that morning. And a lot of them left without even being able to be on a team. So it was highly competitive.
That's right, and this was the first Little League in Murfreesboro.
Right.
And I don't remember exactly what year it was. Maybe
50 or 51.
50 or 51 along in there. And you're right, there were some boys that just didn't get selected. I was selected by Jack Goodrich and played on the Cardinals.
What a great guy.
Yeah, he was a great guy. And actually, we won the league championship, the Cardinals did, that very first year.
Hmm.
I scored the winning run.
Why have I got you on my show? You guys beat us. And we had a good team. I mean, we really did. We were pretty solid back then, and Mr. Sheeran was a great coach. But I still remember that the Cardinals were always our biggest competitor.
Yeah, we had some good players, though. Charles Brandon was on the team. John Dixon, now Dr. John Dixon. Mm-hmm. I didn't play very much, but I got to be a substitute runner from time to time.
I wonder why. You were speedy. I mean, you really were fast. And growing up in Murfreesboro back then was really... it was the perfect place to be living during those ages. I mean, during those particular years.
Oh yes, there wasn't much traffic. It was an atmosphere that it was just very pleasant. I grew up on Richardson Avenue, which is very close to, and I went to the campus school. We called it training school back then. And it was a great, and I think about that a lot. That I'd like to relive those times.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, you can actually every Saturday night, everybody would come to the square, and if you could vision our square now, there was not a parking place. They were parked for blocks off the square, and the people were just solid. On the sidewalks in front of the stores, and everybody was out of their car, and it was quite an atmosphere to grow up in.
It was the only place to shop, and I've told this a number of times, but everybody that was raised here remembers that that mom and dads would do the shopping, and the kids would go to the Princess Theater.
Absolutely.
And babysit them for the whole time that, whatever time that they would shop, two, three, sometimes even longer than that. So we wanted them to shop a long time because we got to see all the movies.
That's right, especially on Saturday.
Oh, gosh. That's the only time. See, I was a country boy. That's the only time we got to go was on Saturday. So that's when they would stock up on everything on that particular Saturday for the whole week, and then we get to go the next week so we could keep up with the cereals, whatever was going on at the time.
Right. And every now and then a fight would break out in the Princess Theater. I don't know whether you remember that ever happening while you were there, but it happened numerous times while I was there.
Actually, I don't remember any fights, but I guess I was so mesmerized. I mean, I really was by the theater, except in the movies that were going on. I wouldn't know if something was going on around me at the time because I was just glued to the screen. I mean, it just meant that much to me.
You remember Brown Shoe Store?
Oh, yes.
That's where you bought your shoes.
Yes.
And there were a lot of businesses there on the square. That was the only place to go to buy anything, actually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the center of Murfreesboro, actually in the entire community. So, I mean, everybody in the country, you had your country stores, but the things that you needed on a weekly basis, usually you had to come downtown to get them then.
Well, you did, and you're right. Out in the communities, Kittrell and Christiana, there was always a store there.
Yeah.
But to buy any clothes or furniture or a bicycle, you had to go to the square to do it.
Now, you and I were talking, not today, but some time ago, and you were telling me about growing up here, and I think you told me who your first girlfriend was. You remember who that was?
Well, I wouldn't say she was a girlfriend, but she was my first date.
Oh, okay.
And that was Marsha Littlefield.
Now, how old were you at that time?
It was Spodance. I'd say I was 14.
14?
13 or 14.
And, oh, that's right. You were a Spo.
Right. And
there's the Spos, and the other one was the Snookies, right?
I
think that's what they were.
The
SPOs, yeah. Yeah.
So I went, of course, I couldn't drive, and my mother drove me to pick up Marsha. So I got out of the car, walked to the porch, and before I got there, I tripped over her hydrant and ripped my pants. So I didn't know it till we got to the country club, and I could call my mother, come back and get me, and go home, sew up the pants.
were a little bit nervous, weren't you?
Yeah. But, I remember Marsha, and I remember her father. I don't remember her mother, but I do remember her father.
Mm-hmm. And she married Bubba Porterfield.
Yeah, Bubba.
And they live down in Florida now.
Right, and we see them at the class reunions
every
5 years or so.
Yeah.
And
the thing about our class is the guys still stick together and the girls still see each other. I mean, they live all over the country. Many of them did not settle here and stay here. But there's still that camaraderie that we have. Just like when we have our class reunion, it's actually a family reunion. That we get to see each other maybe the only time in 5 or 10 years. I think we're going to start trying to have it more, but we need to. But.
Yeah, I think we get together like you and I talk from time to time, and we really love those days.
Oh, of course.
Those days are very precious to us.
Now, once you left high school, did you go to UT?
I went to MTSU.
MTSU, okay. Mm-hmm. And then you went into the Air Force.
That's correct.
And then you went through officers training school and those type of things.
Yeah, at Lackland.
Yeah. And where were you stationed?
Well, backing up a little bit, I met my wife, Carolyn.
Okay.
And her name was Norman.
Mm-hmm.
We met when we were sophomores in poetry class. Teacher was Clay Tucker, actually.
Hmm.
And she graduated a semester before me, and after I graduated in the spring, we were married. And so I went to France, to Evreux, France, for my first assignment. And then she came over a few months later to be with me. And she was there for the 2-year assignment there, yeah. And after Evreux, I came back into Seward Air Force Base, came back home, actually, and spent my last year in the military in Murfreesboro. But Carol and I have been married in June, 48 years.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine putting up with me for 48 years?
Actually, I can't.
Well, she has. She's a great girl, and I love her very much. And we've been living at the same place for about 40 years now, Riverview, backing up to the golf course.
Yeah.
I was the first house on the back nine.
Oh, wow.
While they were constructing it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we were going to stay there 5 years, and didn't really add on, but we kept doing things to improve the house. And that's your cell phone?
Yeah.
I didn't bring mine in. But at any rate, we call that home. We raised both of our children there. And Kurt is here locally, works for Haynes Brothers, does a wonderful job for them. And my other son lives in Delray Beach, Florida. And he comes up 3 or 4 times a year to visit us, and we typically go to Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. I think we've got someone that wants to talk to you on the phone, Larry.
Okay.
So, caller, welcome aboard.
Hello.
Hello.
Larry?
Yes.
Truman?
Hey.
Hey, this is Eleanor and Helen. We're down in Florida.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations.
We just ate dinner with Marcia and Bubba the other night.
Oh, did you now?
They came over to visit, and, oh, dear.
Hey, this is Eleanor.
I think there's a little delay down there.
A big delay. Y'all were delayed, too.
Yeah, well, oh, okay.
How's the weather, Eleanor?
We have not seen any rain in 12 days, and Carolyn told me that Riverview's fine. I talked to her a while ago.
Yeah, I almost called you last night to tell you we had a little weather on the way, but
I called the kids because we saw where, but everything's okay, right?
Right. We had hardly anything where we.
I didn't know all this was going to be on there, Larry.
Are you there, Eleanor?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Were you going to say something, Eleanor?
What?
Were you going to say something?
I don't know. Here's Helen. She wants. Hey, I do remember when Larry fell over the water faucet.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad there's a witness.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Here's Helen.
All right.
Here's Helen. Y'all have a good time.
Okay, thank you, Eleanor.
What?
Hello, Helen. I believe they cut us off. I believe she's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. Especially when they're down there having such a good time and we're up here in this kind of weather that we're in.
Yeah, Eleanor's my neighbor. She's lived out there nearly as long as I have. And see her several times a week. And so when we're out of town, we keep each other posted on what's going on, the weather, et cetera, things in the neighborhood.
Of course, if you don't know who Eleanor Clare is, she was an heirs and from Jennings and Ayers Funeral Home, and she was in our class. And that's part of the wonder of our particular group is all across, not just in Tennessee. There's a lot of people from our class that actually listen to this radio show in other places. But I'm going to have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Larry Haynes.
You buy from Stan McNabb Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Stan McNabb Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler in Tullahoma, and even Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg. In a vehicle you buy from another dealership, they may look alike, But the truth is, they're very different. Only the new or pre-owned vehicle from Stan McNabb has oil changes and tires for life at no additional charge. Check it out at stanmcnabb.com. See dealer for complete details.
Tennessee Radio Network News. I'm Joe Hall reporting strong winds from thunderstorms that moved through Tennessee have damaged homes, businesses, and power lines. In Smithville, about 55 miles east of Nashville, powerful winds wrecked a convenience store. TEMA is not reporting any fatalities or serious injuries from those storms. Former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is paying a visit to Fort Campbell. Rumsfeld will be meeting with soldiers on Friday to sign copies of his memoir, Known and Unknown. Rumsfeld says he looks forward to the visit.
It's the finest military on the face of the earth. And it's thanks to them that that's the case.
Rumsfeld, who is defense secretary under Presidents Gerald Ford and George W. Bush, says proceeds from the book will be going to charities that support soldiers and their families. The body of a missing teenage swimmer has been recovered on Coffee County's Normandy Lake. That teenager disappeared yesterday afternoon near the Barton Springs area of that lake. Officials say the teen was swimming with friends, went under, and did not resurface.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there.
So now, I'm never alone.
I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill,
or VA hospitals, managing the transition home,
or meeting people you can share stories with, you'll find it at IAVA.org, even if it's just everyday stuff.
Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say that?
Really?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq-Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
A delayed summer vacation for some Tennessee students.
Thousands of Tennessee school kids have already begun their summer vacation, but students in Nashville are still in class, making up extra days used for snow during the winter months. In a typical year, Nashville schools would also already be out for the summer, but due to extra snow days, students are in class until next Wednesday.
As the Tennessee Radio Network's Andrew Warren reporting, experts say you should increase the air conditioner thermostat in your home to save on your cooling expenses during the hot Tennessee summer months. Tim Hill with Nashville Electric Service suggests setting the AC at 78 degrees.
Again, I know that's a little bit warm for some people, but it is an economical setting for them.
Hill says you can save as much as 40% on your electric bill by raising the thermostat from 72 to 78 degrees this summer. The Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency says federal fish hatcheries in Tennessee are in jeopardy because of proposed budget cuts. The cuts would take effect in October. The TWRA says the hatcheries are responsible for raising nearly 60% of all the trout that are in Tennessee. I'm Joe Wall reporting for the Tennessee Radio Network.
This is Truman Jones. Let me take just a minute to tell you about my friends down the road in Shebaville at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, Pirtle and Howerton is the place to go. Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC. You can find anything you need at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive in Shebaville. They take pride in the vehicles they sell and strive to succeed in great customer experience and satisfaction. Whether you are looking for a new or used, their friendly and knowledgeable staff are eager to assist you in your car buying process. You can check out their extensive inventory at PearlHowerton.com.
That's Pirtle and Howerton Automotive, 2006 North Main in Shelbyville. Don't let a 20-minute drive cost you thousands of dollars. Go by, see them today, or give them a call, 1-800-264-6800, or online at PirtleHowerton.com.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
Welcome back with Mr. Larry Haynes. We were talking earlier about going to the Readerville Mill, and I was telling you that's the place you need to go. They have on Saturday mornings from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. They have a great breakfast, and they make everything is done right there at the mill. and you go back 200 years when you go in that place, Larry, and it's a little bit older than you and I are, but not all that much, and such a great bunch of people out there, and they not only have the meals on Saturday, but just for special occasions, businesses go out there and have lunches, and they have weddings and all the other things, so it is a great place to go.
Now, we're not that old, are we?
Sometimes I feel it. Now, when you were in the service, your particular duties, I think you and I were talking about, was air traffic control.
That's right.
And to me, that would be one of the most stressful jobs that anybody could get into.
Well, it can be in certain situations. My first assignment in France, we didn't have all that much traffic. When I came to Seward, it was the flying circus.
And it was a really a busy place at that time, Seward was. I mean, you see the planes coming and going all the time.
Yeah, we were training C-130 pilots and C-7 Caribous, which is a very slow, low-performance aircraft versus a C-130. And mixing those in traffic was quite a chore. But I cherish my Air Force days. Among the things I've done, that's the best thing I've ever done, and taught me more about people. And I've learned things that I've carried with me the rest of my life, and various things that I've done.
Now, that was during the Vietnam period too,
right?
When you were in there, so the planes were in a continuous volume of air all the time. Because I remember when I was at Fort Bragg, they had a huge air base there also.
Right, Pope Air Force Base.
That's right.
Right.
And the planes were continuously coming in, whether they were the type like the C-130s, which were very large planes that carried a large number of people, or also equipment and those type things. And I always wondered, how in the world can they keep up with it's almost like being at O'Hare in Chicago. It's unreal.
Well, there's a lot of rules, and you got to stick with those rules, or you're going to get in trouble. And it takes a person with a certain skill level that most of them are just born with. To be able to talk to 14 or 15 aircraft at one time and remember all their call signs, it does take a special person. And of course, as an officer, I didn't do that much controlling, except in France I did. I worked a shift in a radar approach control. And at Seward, I was in charge of the whole air traffic control operation, so I didn't do that much work there. And fact is, I'd go up, and I had to have a certain amount of training every month or activity on the boards, and I could only handle five or six aircraft at one time.
Now, was that your last duty station?
Right. I got out of the Air Force, was discharged there at Seward, and went into business with my dad at Haynes Brothers Lumber Company.
Mr. Grady Haynes, and such a nice, nice man he was. And a go-getter.
Well, he was, and great, great manager. You know, I learned so much from him during those years that we were together, and watched the company grow. And it was really a fun time. Everything I've done has been fun, and I've enjoyed it. I stayed there in the lumber company for 18 years.
And the business actually started, around 1948, 49, somewhere
around somewhere in that range. He started it with several of his brothers, and they got together $5,000 and started it.
Wow. You think about $5,000, where would it go now?
But Dad worked, he would work every night, weekends, Saturday and Sunday, and we couldn't afford to have all that many people. So he had to do a lot of the work. He handled all the credit and the buying and involved in sales heavily. So he did everything.
And Rutherford County and Murfreesboro really hadn't started growing yet. I mean, it was still just kind of a rural community all the way through. So he had to work hard to make it in that business.
Well, we had to get in against some heavy competition, Bell Brothers, and so it was just a lot of hard work.
Was Crossland Supply going at that time?
I think that they were.
Yeah,
I started to work down there when I was 11, and worked on the back driving trucks. And well, I wasn't driving trucks when I was 11, but I was there helping. And learned how to work with my hands, which is another thing that's helped me along the way. I kind of feel like if you can't work with your hands, you can't do anything else.
Your dad was preparing you not only for the business, but for life at the same time.
That's right. That's right. He was a good boss. He's a fair man, an honest man, and wanted to do what was right all the time. And he was the type of guy that with an employee he looked for somebody that worked steady,
mm-hmm.
Versus somebody that works hard and then loafs for 2 hours. He liked good steady work, and he had people like Tommy Trott.
Oh my goodness!
And Buck Arms.
Mm-hmm.
Buck died a few years ago.
Yes, I know.
And really, some top-notch people.
Those are names that ring a lot in the hallways of old Central High School. I mean, Buck was a great football player, and of course, Tommy Trott was as good a basketball player as I've ever seen.
Yeah, I could shoot with either hand.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable. And I told you one time about Mr. Pate told me that he once saw something wrong with Tommy's delivery when he was shooting, so he put him on the side and let him shoot 10 times. He hit nothing but the bottom of the net each time, and he said, whatever is wrong, I'm not going to fool with it. So he was amazing.
Well, he was a great, he was our sales manager, mm-hmm. at the last few years, and Tommy did a great job with the customers, handling complaints and things like that. Another thing Dad taught us, if you're going to make an adjustment with a customer, whether even if he's wrong, be nice about it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that was hard to do, but another good lesson that came from my dad.
Well, a lot of that success that you have has to be placed back on him, because he gave you such a great start. And you worked at Haynes Brothers for a long time, but you have been so busy in other areas, and you've been on so many boards and been in, you've worked with state government and general services, and there is no way that we can cover even a close proximity of all the things that you've done in an hour. So I definitely want you back again. But I would like to cover some of the things that you were involved in politics, because I know you were very strong in politics for many, many years here.
That's true. I was recruited by Dr. Kenneth Ezell. And
what a great guy he was.
He came in the store one morning, and we were talking about Winfield Dunn, and mm-hmm. he said, well, would you be his campaign manager? I said, no, I don't believe Daddy would let me do that. It'd take too much time. He said, well, how about his finance chairman? I said, oh, I can do that. And turned out that was the hardest job that there was. So I worked in local elections, was Howard Baker's county chairman, and later on, I was Winfield Dunn's county chairman, or area chairman, had several counties. And then in 1988, I was state finance chairman for George Bush.
Hmm.
And that was his first time around. That was an interesting experience. Worked with Ted Welch in Nashville, mm-hmm. who was the area chairman, and Tennessee was one of his counties. But later on, I met Don Sundquist and worked as his deputy finance chairman for the state. And he asked me to join his cabinet as Commissioner of General Services. So I stayed there 7 years, and now I'm out of politics.
But being the finance chairman, or the one that's in charge of it, and I think about it, that has got to be the toughest job, where you're trying to raise the amount of funds that's needed to run a race, especially when you're talking about a statewide race. I mean,
right. Where
how in the world do you even get started? Where's plan A start?
Well, plan A for me is building it from the bottom up, from the county level. They don't do that anymore, but back then we would organize every county with a chairman. Mm-hmm. They were given a quota. We didn't have the internet. We a lot of telephone calls. And there was big money here and there. There was PAC money, and you certainly went after that. But after a while, you had to fall back on organization and management, and that's where the... It may be easy to raise that first $1 million, but that second one is awful tough.
Oh, I'll bet. And at times, it's hard to get money even out of the people that have money at certain times. But I was thinking about some of those names that you mentioned, and Howard Baker always stands out in my mind because I met him a few times, and he was the consummate gentleman every time I was around him.
He was, absolutely.
And I've always said that he probably came as close to being president of the United States than anybody that I've ever met personally, except for the ones that actually did make it. But he was one of those people that he did not care where you were or whatever. He would spend time with you. And you think of somebody that's on his type of schedule, how in the world could he be as nice an individual as he was? And he had to be, and I know you had to spend some time with him.
I've been up to his home in Huntsville. Mm-hmm. on two occasions. But frankly, I never spent a great deal of time with Howard. I remember that he called me one day and said, "Can you come up to Washington?" And I said, "Yes." And he had a driver in a limo there to pick me up. And I said, "Goodness gracious." We went in the back door with the Capitol. And long story short, Jim Haslam was the state finance chairman. And Jim is the father of our current governor, Bill Haslam. So I was Middle Tennessee finance chairman for Howard Baker that time around. There'd been so many, I really can't even remember them all.
You were walking in big company.
Well, back then in Rutherford County, at the beginning in the 70s, there weren't any Republicans.
No, there weren't.
We would have a meeting and have six people there.
If I remember right, you had to get a special ballot to even vote Republican back when we were kids. You say Republican, they say, "What is that?"
Yeah.
Things have changed, haven't they?
Well, they certainly have. They made quite a turnaround in the last few years.
Yeah. Now, you were in General Services, and a lot of people don't realize that General Services is one of the main departments in the state government.
Well, it is. When I served in it, it was a very important department, and we did a lot of things. We did all the purchasing for the state, everything from paper clips to mainframe computers.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, my 7 years, we bought over $1 billion made $1 million worth of contracts.
Mm.
And we never lost a vendor protest. So I was proud of that. But General Services, It did a lot of things. It managed 150 state-owned buildings and 280 lease properties. It run the second largest postal operation in the state.
Hmm.
And printing and central stores, which is a retail outlet for basically office supplies, records management, surplus property, and several more. So we had $100 million budget, and we were authorized about 600 employees when I came in, and uh, there were some vacant positions, and we tried to reduce those unfilled positions, and so we ended up with maybe 40 or 50 less employees than we had when we got there. It's been 15 years now. It's kind of hard to remember, but I remember the first day I went down there and talked to the McWhirter's commissioner, Bill Whitson, and came home and told Carolyn, and said, look, I think I've got in over my head here. And she said, no, you just get you some good people, and you'll be fine. And that's what I did. I hired Ed Jones from TBI.
Bill Jones' son.
Right. Mm-hmm. As my deputy. And there were a lot of good people there that I kept. And Whitson run a good department under McWhirter, and those people knew state government, and I wanted some people that was smarter than I was, that knew more things about state government than I did, which is nothing. And we went on and had a great operation there. It was fun, and I let people, my philosophy was that I didn't stand afar, but I was not a what you would call a hands-on manager. I give people responsibility and give them room to have fun and develop success for themselves, and then let them get the credit for it.
Well, I know you were good to us, especially in Rutherford County, because I don't know how many times you call me and ask me if was anything in particular I needed, or if you had something that you knew that we could utilize there on board at the state. You would always call me, and I really appreciate that, because you helped us a number of times. We're going to have to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with Larry Haynes.
Guardian has over 125 years combined experience in security, fire, camera systems, and access control for your home and business. Contact Guardian at 459-1040 at mygss.com.
Guardian, we help you keep your guard up.
459-1040.
Weather-eye.
Partly to mostly cloudy tonight with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Areas of fog possible, low near 59. Becoming sunny on Friday, high of 76. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now it's 79.
It's been a busy week and it's finally winding down. Too tired to cook supper? Stop by Kirk & Burt's and pick up our family pack to go. A pound of barbecue, buns, and your choice of side, all for just $9.99. Kirk & Burt's, 517 Kaysen Lane, just down from the theater.
Celebrate Memorial Day with great savings all this week at CAC Plants. John at CAC Plants in Smyrna has some beautiful hanging baskets, and if you mention you heard about them on WGNS, you'll get them for half price. You heard me, half price. Plus knockout roses, 3-gallon size, just $15. Good deals grow here at CAC Plants. They have garden plants and locally grown produce for sale too. Hanging baskets are half price if you mention this ad at CAC Plants in Smyrna, where Sam Ridley meets Jefferson Pike.
Looking for a great deal on BF Goodrich tires? Now's the time to buy.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street, across from Advance Auto Parts.
Buy any four BF Goodrich tires and receive a $50 prepaid MasterCard May 12th through June 8th. I'm Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service. We invite you to do business with us. Southeastern Tire Service, trusted since 1950.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street, across from Advance Auto Parts.
The annual Murfreesboro Doughboy Challenge 5K race is nearing. My name is Paul Eric Rice, and I've been with General Mills for the past 13 years. I've ran in the race for the last 3 years. The race this year is on June 11th. This year's race benefits the Exchange Club Family Center, Governor's Books from Birth, and CASA of Rutherford County. Please participate in this year's race. Sign up today at doughboychallenge.com.
The Truman Show now continues on the Voice of Rutherford County, WGNS, AM and FM.
No, Larry, you and I have a friend that we've both known him and been close to him for many, many years, Mr. Jimmy Earle.
Oh, Jimmy. Jimmy is my best friend, and Got to know Jimmy. He moved next door to me. Mm-hmm. I lived on Grandview Avenue before I moved out to the golf course. And Jimmy and I go way back. I got interested, Carol and I did, in basketball. And looking back to those days, some of those players, Steve Peeler and Sleepy Taylor and Cisneros, mm-hmm. and several more. And got to know Jimmy, and he's just a great guy. When, you know, really, we went to the ball game to see Jimmy throw his coat. You remember that?
He was our lesser Bobby Knight.
Yeah, we had a banquet one. We would have a banquet every year, mm-hmm. and Bobby Knight came down one time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Boy, he's a strong personality.
I had dinner with him the night before, and he come back and told my wife she ought to be granted sainthood for living with me.
Well, I think a lot of people said that now, Larry.
Yeah, I've been told that, yeah.
And you, you've always been very loyal to MTSU, but one of the things that I really admire you for is when you guys started Christy Houston. I mean, that has been such a plus for the community.
Well, it has, Truman, and that came about from the sale of our hospital to Baptist in St. Thomas. Mm-hmm. And we negotiated a contract for them to buy it for $42 to $43 million. And we took that money and formed the Christy Houston Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I was on the board of the hospital and then became a director, founding director of Christy Houston, which I've been on for over 20 years now. And we've done a lot of things in the community that the community could not do for itself. And actually, with that $44 million, we've got asset now about $92 million, and we give away in the range of $75 million. So Christy Houston will be there long after we're gone, hopefully, and forever, doing things for the community. We're required to give away 5% of our assets every year.
That's a lot of money.
Well, it is. It's in the $4 million, $5 million range.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, and even myself, I was a little, I always thought that that had to go to medical purposes, but you were telling me it just goes to for the good of the community.
Right. In our bylaws, it states that we'll make grants for the benefit of the people of Rutherford County. Mm-hmm. And a large part of that is medical, which I can tell you about some of that. We built the present library. That was about a $1.4 million grant. And we've helped the arts people with the old post office there. And a lot of small grants. We make a lot of grants just for a few thousand dollars for things. But the Barfield Park, mm-hmm. is another good example.
Beautiful park. As good as any I've ever seen.
But from a medical standpoint, we've given the hospital back a lot of this money over the years.
And the new hospital included.
Right. We bought the land, I believe, with a $3 or $4 million grant that the hospital's on from the city, which really got the gateway started. And then we've made another grant for $10 million over a 10-year period that we agreed to do $1 million a year. So we're heavily involved with this hospital. And you look, Marshburg's just had a win-win situation.
I can't think of any other organization that has done as much for this community than Christy Houston. And you've even gone outside the community to make sure that our citizens were safer here because on that life flight that many people have utilized over the years. It actually flies, I believe, is it out of Vanderbilt?
Well, Vanderbilt Children's Hospital did not have a separate helicopter pad that was near their building or on their building. Their emergency patients had to land over at the main hospital, in time they were transported back to the children's hospital, it was about maybe a 20-minute, 15-minute procedure. Mm. And that's precious time when you're dealing with critically ill children. So we built a helicopter pad for them. And then the rationale for Rutherford County is that Rutherford County uses children's hospital extensively. It's amazing the number of patients that go there every year. And then emergencies, they land over there close to the practice football field at Central, in that fenced-in area there. So we thought that was important. And other smaller grants in the Nashville area that have a direct tie to Rutherford County.
And people actually apply for the grants. And I think Bob Mifflin is the director over there.
That's correct.
And he's the working man. And then you guys go in. And I really have to commend you guys, because all these years that you've had Christy Houston, all the things that you've done, and you kept your finances solvent, it's just amazing. I wished every business was able to be able to deal the way that you guys do, especially in a financial way. But you always are doing it, making sure that this community has all the uses there for them at hand whenever they need anything. And I know that when I was working at the sheriff's office, you guys supplied us with the defibrillators, which there's no telling how many lives that takes care of when you put them in all the patrol cars in Rutherford County, including the cities. So you guys were always looking out for the people. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. Do you want to say hi or bye to anybody during this little short time? Besides Carolyn?
Well, I'll tell Eleanor goodbye again, and Marcia, and my son Kurt, and Russ. I think Russ may be listening down in Florida.
Very well could be. We do have listeners down there.
My regards to them, and thank you for having me on.
Oh, Larry, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. It's just like bringing back old times, and I think the world of you.
That's the same.
We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll have Rick Sane, and I believe it'll probably be at 2 o'clock, hopefully.